to Where Was the Show. I'm Mark Cardle, joined by Zachary Stevenson.
I'm Zachary Stevenson.
And Robert Runciman.
I'm Bobby Munro.
Yeah, I don't know what you're called. I'll stick with Runciman now. This week we're going to be talking FA Cup results for the weekend. Also the demise that's still going on at Aston Villa. Pep Guardiola coming to the Premier League this summer, which has been confirmed by the man himself. And Wayne Rooney, his form this season, and whether really he's deserving of an England spot. And of course, gents, our Super Six predictions. Quite interesting results last week, by the way. But I'm quite looking forward to going through them.
I know I got a 3-pointer.
You did. You did quite well. Rob didn't do too
good. Am I still top?
Your joint
must be.
But I will. Yeah, we'll go into that.
I'm in the mix. That's all that matters at this stage of the season.
Well, yeah. We're doing this. It's some sort of dinner. Someone's got to pay for dinner.
It's Nando's again, which we never did last year.
This year it will happen.
Yeah. We've moved into season two as well, which we never.
Yeah, we are. It's just season two. It's just episode two.
Season two.
Yeah.
So if this was 24, this would be the one where the nuclear bomb was. Yeah, where George Mason dies.
I think it is getting as popular as 24.
Oh, I think so.
It's up there.
I know Kiefer Sutherland's an avid listener as well as Charlie Adam.
Aren't you, you told me earlier today, you're doing a Christmas dinner today.
Was it
today the 10th?
Because I didn't spend Christmas with my girlfriend. And so we decided today we're going to have a bit of a Christmassy thing. But so we're just kind of sort of warping reality. And
has she got the hump around here on Christmas Day then?
No, it's fine.
We knew this
was happening. Yeah, we're just re-wrapping our presents.
It's brilliant.
There's tinsel over there and everything.
Yeah,
so. Yay, ding dong, merrily on high.
So what are you going to watch, like we said last week,
Home Alone 2? Miracle on 34th Street. Indiana Jones, it's got to be done.
Home Alone 2.
We could actually save this until next December and just... Yeah. It'd be a bit out of date, wouldn't it? Anyway, let's
have a Where Was the Show marathon, can't you?
We could.
That'd
be incredibly boring, wouldn't it? I could wrap up a Where Was the Show box set for her.
Yeah, you should do. What a gift. Signed. Only by you, obviously. So
you can't be bothered. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, come on then.
So Arsenal and Sunderland, eh?
3-1. I mean, I think that was expected, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I was shocked to hear that Sunderland had gone 1-0.
Yeah.
Because we know as West Ham fans, when West Ham are really in deep trouble, Allardyce as manager, he writes off all the clubs, he'll put reserves on that. Exactly what he did, more or less, with Sunderland, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they've gone 1-0.
But it's the magic
of
the cup, isn't it? And anything can happen, you know?
Anything can happen.
I do love the FA Cup, though. I really am feeling it.
I just wish that it never got degraded all those years ago. It did. I think United ruined it by going off to play that World Club Championship thing.
Yeah, that's the start, wasn't it?
And now they ruin it in other ways now.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that later on.
Yeah, so to be honest, probably the most predictable result.
Yeah, it was a bog standard Arsenal 3-1 against Sunderland.
I
don't know if any of us get that result spot on. Spot on.
I don't believe so.
Michael Owen got spot on.
I didn't even see Sunderland score.
We all said 2-0.
Okay.
We've got
the margin, right?
Indeed. But yeah, I think that's fair enough. And obviously, Arsenal win it this year. That's 3 years on the spin, which I don't think it's ever been done.
Actually, I just looked it up, and it was done. It's been done twice.
But
in the last century, the 1800s, Wanderers did it 3 years in a row.
Then
a non-existent club now, and then Blackburn Rovers also did it.
I think in the 70s, I think Man United and Arsenal won it back to back and then lost the third final. Well, one of them did.
No, not in the 70s. No. Arsenal won it in 79, lost it in 80.
Yeah.
So there's been a couple of.
Don't forget West Ham won it in 80.
Just
going to throw that in.
Arsenal won it twice in a row in the 2000s, but.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's up there. I mean,
it would be
brilliant. And they've got to be up there favourites.
Well, the thing about the FA Cup is that 8 is the most wins, so.
Right.
You have to look back and think, well, it's unlikely that many clubs would have won 3 in a row. But
that tag favourites for the FA Cup, I mean, it's all about what draw you get. If you suddenly draw, Man City away, suddenly you're not favourites anymore, aren't you?
That's a good point.
I think it's nonsense to suggest anyone's favourites for a cup competition like that, because it's 90 minutes knockout and anything can happen, you know.
Yeah. I'd say I was talking about the FA Cup because there's the magic of it. And there was an interview with Slaven Bilic yesterday, maybe the day prior, and he was talking about obviously the Wolves game. And they said, through the question to him, what's more important to West Ham or to him, winning the FA Cup or finishing fourth and getting the Champions League? And he went, there's no question, he went winning the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's there, you can see it, we can lift it.
Yeah.
So we're never going to win. He said, look at us. He said, we're not going to win the Champions League. He said, no point. Yeah. Doesn't mean anything. And I thought that was a really good response, to be honest.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Doesn't mean, I mean, he's still, we'll go into West Ham a bit later, I think, but with his team selection, he obviously rested quite a few players because he got a Premier League game. Yeah, it's time, so it's a balancing act, isn't it? You know, it's not like you put your best side out and then you end up losing your Premier League.
That's what we're talking about now. Let's talk about West Ham quickly, because we won yesterday 1-0, and West Ham won 1-0 against Wolves, and you were there, Rob.
Yeah, that was a lovely day. It was a lovely day because it was the last time I ever go to Upton Park with my dad and brother.
Yeah.
Packed house.
Unless someone managed to give you three tickets.
Yeah, well, that might happen in the next round. They've got another home draw, might be a possibility, but I think it's probably the last time.
Yeah, and all three of you, and you had a good time there. So,
fantastic atmosphere. The Wolves fans were great. Mm. You know, they packed their end out. A lot of banter going on. And I hate that word banter. I can't believe I just said that. I really hate that word.
You used it ironically. It's okay. Yeah. Just say that.
And they didn't play well. It was a great goal to win it by Jelovic 6 minutes ago, who had a terrible game up to then. Really, well, not terrible. It was just anonymous. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, great. I mean, you know, we always dream as West Ham fans about winning the FA Cup every year. That's the always been the main.
I mean, it's a result that was expected. We, you know, we should have beaten teams like Wolves comfortably. Really. Yeah. I mean, and I know these games are tough. I know the rule books. Sort of
they made quite a few changes.
The form book
was out the window. Yeah, not the rule book. It's the same rules. I mean,
well, you know,
they made quite a few changes, and the team was a bit unbalanced. There wasn't a lot of creativity going on until Payet came on.
Mm.
It was just job done, really. Last day out, job done. See how we get next round.
And Zachary, you were talking earlier, one game you watched for the FA Cup, which was your beloved and exciting, thrilling Manchester United.
When I say I watched, I didn't watch all of it, because at 40 minutes I went down to start preparing dinner, and after about 70 minutes I just started browsing Facebook. And I'm telling you, I mean, everyone's going on about it, but it's infectious and it's just awful. And I mean,
is it really that bad?
It was abysmal. I was watching the match, and at points, Mariam was sitting with me, and I was saying, "He's going to pass it left." And Schweinsteiger has the ball, and you can see there's an alley he can go in towards. There's a bit of a gap between the central defenders, and he could go forward, go for it, and he stops. And he turns and he passes it sideways. It's the worst Manchester United team.
Well, I just see your I've Facebook ever seen status, like, and I think it said something along the lines like Manchester United do not exist.
I honestly, it feels like there's no Manchester United.
There was definitely a Facebook rant yesterday. You usually get it about Saturdays.
Watching paint dry. I mean, I chastised some United fans during the Moyes era for being too negative about this, but because I don't think it was the same thing. I think United were still playing in that kind of style they're traditionally. the fans are used to, but it just wasn't paying off, and for whatever reason, now it's calculated that they're going to pass the ball and pass the ball and pass the ball and pass the ball in that.
But not
really,
attacking.
But
it's
not
just
attacking.
The whole 74%
of possession. It's just shocking. And it's like Van Gaal says, "Oh, we are trying to change the new world to adapt." It's like, no, you don't. You're a liar. You know,
Louis
like,
Van Gaal's army.
We go for it. We go for that 0-0 draw. We get it. It's like, you know, I mean, and the penalty, okay, like just about, like it was a penalty. I mean, the guy kicked Memphis on the shin.
Penalty,
and it's funny because we were talking about Memphis last week and how he'd been kind of, you know, sort of flattering to deceive, but he played really well when he came on yesterday. He was the only player that was trying things. You know, he was having shots in 30 yards, but nobody else having shots at all, you know.
And that's basically one of them, because you've got all this going on with United and all this sort of unrest amongst fans and everything and the style of play. But then at the same time, then there's this massive rumours that Manchester United want to go out and buy Bale in the summer.
Yeah.
Gareth Bale's not going to come to Manchester United while it's like this, surely.
I don't know. I mean,
he might do.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he knows that club, like, they're not exactly a sleeping giant. It's Manchester United. Do you know something? I saw a statistic the other day as well. United have the highest shots to goal ratio in the Premier League. So it's because they're not shooting, you know.
Oh, really? I see what you're saying. Yeah, good point.
It's unbelievable. And if that isn't
really
evidence enough to Van Gaal to say, look, just have a goal,
yeah,
you know.
Now your style of play, I think I mentioned this before, see Tottenham play exactly the same kind of style. It's just a possession game. The difference is they got a centre-forward. When the ball goes to Kane, he'll shift it and he'll hit one for 30 yards.
Like that one against Everton at the post of the day.
They desperately need a new striker. I mean, I just not, I'm sorry, but they do. Rooney's not reliable anymore.
Rooney's not a striker. Simple as that. I mean, I don't know. He's become the second highest 90 goal scorer ever, but he's played 100 games more than Dennis Law. That says it all. I mean, you know, I mean, Martial is a striker, but he seems so isolated on his own, and he gets put out in the wing and.
And in the old days as well, if they were struggling, Man United, well, not old days, it was going back 3 years ago, Fergie was still there. But if it was 0-0 with 20 minutes to go, suddenly Well, I'm thinking about sort of 99. They'd throw every strike they've got in the squad.
Yeah.
You'd have Solskjaer, Sheringham, York, Cole, all on the pitch at the same time.
Yeah,
goals.
Yeah.
And it'd be a barrage. It'd just be like never-ending attack.
After attack.
And eventually the ball would go in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I mean,
let's be honest, yesterday was so close to being a goal of straw.
But now
it could have been real.
Sheffield United,
a couple of chances around the 60th, 50th, 70th minute, and imagine that.
And they're League One, aren't they?
Yeah, they're two divisions below United. And I mean, you look at they showed you the structure. I mean, when you got Schweinsteiger, you know, sort of.
Schweinsteiger.
I mean, who's like when he was in Germany? Like, he's solid and he gets stuck in. But when he gets the ball for Bayern, he's going forward and he's foraging and he's trying to make things happen. He's just tapping the ball left or right every single time. It's just
They're definitely under instructions.
They're under instructions.
Something's not right, isn't it? But we mostly think Van Gaal. I'm not sure if he's going to last. The summer. I think he'll be probably gone.
I mean, you guys know my opinion on managers getting chopped all the time. I hate it, but
he's already
every reason Simi says Van Gaal should go now. I mean, he's not looking at it long term. The style of play is abysmal and the results are abysmal. So what else do you want, you know? Anyway, that's all I'm saying about it anymore.
Another result then yesterday, which is quite we actually predicted a home win here, and this was Wickham versus Villa. It was a draw, but it could have been a home win, really. I watched the highlights and Villa were pretty Paul.
Yeah, I watched some of the highlights of that as well, actually, and
they are woeful this season. Oh, I can't get over it.
But players lacking confidence, and it makes them pretty dire.
It's a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
Now, Remy Gard's been involved in 10 games and hasn't won a game.
They haven't won a game yet. Yeah,
he's got to be feeling the heat, hasn't he?
Already,
big time.
Already. Imagine
what
that.
What a weird appointment, though. What an odd appointment. Why would you go? When I saw it, when they said that's the man they were going for, I just thought, you might as well stick with Sherwood.
Yeah.
You might as well.
We touched on this last week, didn't we? Yeah, but.
And also when you're in the you could have stuck with Sherwood because at least there would have been some fight about the side. But when you're in this situation really and you want to make a change, bringing someone who's had the experience of the fight, like Nigel Pearson just could be to the end of the season. No bloke's a nut job basically.
Twice of the year.
21
twice of the year. But you know. Yeah.
Well, I think everyone.
But anyway, we know Remy Gard was a bizarre appointment at this
and
stage.
And it's proving to be.
It's not even saying that Remy Gard's a bad manager
such.
It's just the situation he's found himself in. I mean, everyone at the club and even the fans know now they're looking at life in the Championship next season. So I guess it's just. There's nothing to talk about Villa anymore.
Well,
I don't think we should talk about Villa anymore after this
last
week.
Last thing I'll say about them, what they've got to do is a transfer window now. They've got to get in three or four guys, experienced guys, that that can dig them out of this hole. Because do you remember when Kevin Campbell came to Everton years ago when they were in a relegation battle? They looked down and they signed him with Moyes, I think, first.
Kevin
Campbell, that sort of experience came in, he saves them. Someone like Peter Crouch is not getting the Stoke side. Mentioned a match day last night.
Former
someone
Villa
like
player as well, isn't it?
Get someone like that in.
It's
a couple
good shout, really.
We laugh about it. We say that they're doomed and there's no chance, but it's four wins out of 18 matches to go. I mean,
we've seen some miraculous escapes in the last few years.
Leicester might be
the last 10 years we've seen.
Nothing's impossible until it's impossible, isn't it?
The last 10 years we've seen West Ham in a dire situation get out of it. West Brom, we've seen Fulham. Leicester was the greatest one last year, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that and the West Brom one, I think, were the best ones. Villa on 8 points, it's just.
I don't think there's much hope.
But,
I mean, I think it's in the bottom three ever at this stage of the season, Derby County, and I think West Brom, on 6 and 5 points respectively in previous seasons, but. They look doomed, and I don't think they're going to get out of it.
No, and fans have turned on them big time now, haven't they?
Yeah. But obviously the fans thing yesterday was important.
And also going on from the result with Villa, and obviously we don't want to keep going on about them, but there was a clash with players and the fans yesterday as well, which I think is quite unbelievable to see.
I didn't see this, I heard about it, but apparently Mika Richards was involved in some contretemps with
what I saw was basically the cameras on the players going to the coach and a load of fans sort of banging on the front of it, saying every swear word under the sun at the players, which is understandable. But I mean, I read the report before and it said, some of the players were laughing at them as they got on. I didn't see that.
No, I didn't see
that. They just got on and looked a bit shocked, looked out, and one of them just put his thumb up, sort of nervously.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, I go on about it, but every one of those players is earning as much in 1 week as every one of those fans is earning in a year. So why would they care that much about it? I mean, at the end of the day, they'll be on to their next club next season.
Yeah, you said, but you do your plan for people like, you know, Remy Gard, who's the, Gusted. I mean, he's playing for his Premier League life now. If they go down, which they look like they are, he's not going to be brought back to the Premier League unless he joins a club that gets promoted.
There should be some communication between the players and the supporters in this sort of situation. But Borussia Dortmund, that's what I was reading last year when they were in that terrible situation this time last year, not as bad as Villa, but near the bottom of the Bundesliga, of all those great players, after the home games, or even the away games actually, I think the players would go over to the supporters and have a chat with them about it. It's a terrible situation, but
Richards did this yesterday. He went out and spoke to the fans, and I think the manager Gard said it was brave of him to do it.
Yeah, I think it was actually.
And talk good on him. And tried to go and talk to him and say, explain what's going on. And said that we are giving our all, but it's just not happening. Which is a good thing.
We're doing our best, he said, didn't he? Yeah,
we're doing our best, but. And what was quite good of the Villa fans as well, they stood and clapped off the Wickham players and booed their own, but clapped the other team, and they said, you know, that was quite decent of them.
I don't think you should ever boo your own players unless it's visibly, you know, apparent that they're definitely
not trying.
And I watched the highlights last night. I thought Villa, you know, gave a lot in that first half. When suddenly, when Wickham equalised, they sort of went to pot. It's confidence.
Yeah. You know, when a side boos at the end of the match or at halftime, I don't think they're necessarily booing the players. They're booing the situation.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
Yeah, man, that can give a little bit of a G out.
The players don't like to take it personally. They think, look, this is not right, lads. Let's do something about it. You know, it's like they're not saying we hate you personally. It's just, they're upset and frustrated with the situation at the club. You know,
And you know, they're as important as, you know, anyone in that club, the fans, aren't they?
They're the most important things, really. I mean, I know they're treated like the least important things because they take all their money and they give all that money to. And I'd like to see a lot more interaction between fans and clubs. Maybe fans should have a sit down, sort of, they should be involved and meet every so often.
West Ham, I know you can sort of join the is it the fans forum kind of thing, and you can go to these meetings.
Yeah,
which I think, this day and age now with social media, I mean, you can pretty much speak to a player directly
with them,
you can leave an email and sometimes they'll respond to you.
But I just think the players need to be reminded sometimes that the fans are real people and that they really feel about the situation.
We're the ones that have got to go to work on Monday and get ridiculed, when you've got to walk in and see a Liverpool fan and they're laughing, you know, it's hard to take it, and it does knock your confidence.
It's very important, Monday, you know? Very important to still have the fans on your side, because it becomes toxic, the atmosphere. If Villa supporters are suddenly booing them when they come out in the next game, they've already lost all their confidence, they've got no hope.
Yeah.
What it needs is the manager to come out and say, look, let's be honest about it, we're lacking quality at the moment, we're going to try and get some guys in this window. We'll give it a right
go. Good go to stay up, I think you're right.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the more than likelihood now that Pep Guardiola is going to come and manage in the Premier League.
He come out and said he's going to.
Yeah, apparently he said that his next port of call is going to be England, but he hasn't chosen the club. And I've just put my fingers up to make those inverted commas. Yeah.
It's Man City, isn't it?
It must be Man City, because it's the only club with Begiristein that he would have had that level of communication with to be that certain that he's going, you know. There's no way that, I mean, it's United, it's Chelsea.
I was going to throw that at you. I think there could be a chance it could be United. I think they're in for a shout. I mean, I think City are favourites.
I think it's a club he could have managed, and apparently he's expressed that he would have managed United. But if he's saying he's going, but then again, he did say he hasn't chosen his club yet, so I mean, maybe.
Well, yeah, but he has to say something like that, doesn't he?
Well, it's also strong.
I think the likelihood is, I mean, he knows that any club would take him, so he pretty much can say he's chosen his club.
I think a big good shout would be Arsenal. I mean, I think for him and the club. I mean, Wenger's now. If Wenger wins the league this season, what a way to go. And then hand it over to Pep. And it'd be perfect.
And somebody also made the point that if he doesn't win the league, it's another year of Arsenal not winning the league. So maybe it's time for him to step aside and let somebody else take over, you know?
Yeah. That'd be a great move for Pep as well. Because great. I mean, London, obviously. And they really suited that.
He's got the bones of a really great side, and with the man that he is, he can attract even better players to make Arsenal.
Well, I think wherever
best
he goes,
team in England, you know?
He goes, I think Messi might come with him. I think his time might be up at Barcelona. Yeah. I think he just might want to change.
Well, he might want to. I mean, we always say there seems to be this rumour every year, isn't it, about Messi coming to the Premier League? But you've got to wonder if the man is curious about playing in one more league. I mean, Do you want to spend your whole career in one league? I'm not sure.
You've got Paolo Maldini, Ryan Giggs. Every big club has got them. I can't see Messi going anywhere ever, but maybe back to Rosario or something when he's older, you know.
But, it'd be great for the Premier League, though. I mean, Pep in it, I think. It's a great advert for the league. And now with this TV deal, I think I can see the Premier League really storming ahead now.
I think the thing about Manchester United is we talk about the situation they're in now, and I think if there's one man that can instantly transform the fortunes there, because of the way that football operates and a confidence and momentum kind of thing, it'd be Guardiola, wouldn't it? I mean, he'd come in, he'd bring a lot of top players with him.
And his backroom staff and,
you know,
and his whole
projection. The only worry is that, they'd still play that sort of style. But I don't know, I think Guardiola's smart enough to adapt and to understand
traditions.
Would you prefer
traditions. Guardiola to Mourinho at Manchester United?
Personally, I'd prefer Mourinho. Yeah. I just think
Mourinho's got his number.
I think Mourinho really wants it, you know. I think Mourinho really wants it. I think he wanted to go to United before he went back to Chelsea that last time.
Then I must ask this.
Remember when Real Madrid came to play United in the Champions League, and the reverence that Mourinho was giving off about United around that time, and he knew that Fergie was coming to the end of his time. I think he was angling towards it, and I think he was disappointed he didn't get it.
The only problem I think you'd find with Mourinho is that I just think that which you're experiencing now, is I think his style of football might not suit United, because he never really goes for it. He's very defensive.
I don't know. I think it's a fallacy. I think if you look at he's at Madrid, look at the attacking power they're there. Look at the way they play there. They didn't park the bus and play tiki taka.
Chelsea when they won the first two titles, 10-12 years ago, whenever it was. Robben, Duff flying down the wing, isn't it changing? Sort of, he likes to have his holding midfield player.
Yeah,
he had Makélélé, didn't he? He likes a really solid back four. What's wrong with that?
No.
It won't be like Ferguson, just gung ho.
No, that's the thing. He won't. He does play a relatively tight game, especially at home.
He's got one. Most of his teams have one kind of enforcer in there, don't they? The Makélélé. I thought, did Makélélé under Mourinho with any SCN and Mikel? Yeah. And you know, that tough man in midfield who you're never going to get past. And then let the other players do their job, and he's always attacking players. And
that's your vote then, really. You like Mourinho?
I think Mourinho wants it the most. I think Mourinho wants to be the Manchester United manager. I think Guardiola's like, oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah, a good point.
So if you get a manager in there who desperately wants that job,
fantastic for the league. Guardiola going to Man City,
Mourinho for United,
that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
And you got Klopp at Liverpool. I mean, it's exciting times. It really
that'd
is
be wonderful, I think.
And then Alan Pardew at Arsenal.
I just want to know. I want Pearson back.
Pochettino as a top manager.
He's been named as another thing today that United are looking at him, and Laurent Blanc obviously as well. But
are looking at Pochettino, are they?
Yeah, apparently the papers today. Yeah, but it could be just
headline.
You're not
going
to get him away from Spurs.
Spurs got him away from Southampton. I think United could get him away from Spurs if they wanted.
Even if they got in the Champions League. Come on, Manchester United or Tottenham.
Yeah, but it's hard because in the day Tottenham now you've got to consider them a top six side, don't they?
But Manchester United are huge.
You walk into either stadium, Mark, as a football manager, and you see which club you want to manage.
Course.
I mean, no disrespect to Spurs, but
he left Southampton sharpish, didn't he? When Tottenham.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think you've got to consider that.
And they were still
the
side as
the money
at the time.
To pay Spurs to get him out of there, because you know that Levy's not. He's very shrewd. He doesn't let.
Yeah,
him
but
go
I think if
anything.
They if they wanted him, they.
I mean, if they're going to sell Kane, he's going to go for about 67.
I don't think Harry Kane would go. If Tottenham go in the Champions League, I think Harry Kane stays put.
At least for
a season, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think
he'll go for a while yet at all.
No,
that's brilliant. Pep Premier League, I'm delighted with that.
It would be good. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay, so it's going to talk about Wayne Rooney next, and about his lack of form and whether he should be going to European Championships with England.
You know he's going to bloody go, because you've got Roy Hodgson, and Roy Hodgson just picks names, doesn't he? He doesn't pick the
well,
form.
Well, I think it's a bit less simplistic than that. I think Wayne Rooney has earned the right to be in that squad. I mean, he is the top England goal scorer of all time. He did score quite a lot of goals in qualifying. And, you know, club and international football are often quite different. Sometimes you can have a dismal club season and still blast them in the finals of an international tournament. And Wayne Rooney's always got the potential, you know. And I just think he's suffering from a general kind of, you know, bad vibe at Old Trafford, and I think it's different for England.
Exactly, I think the vibe's totally different with England. He's still one of the main men, and he has done the business for him in qualifying. I just think that maybe his starting place might be under threat. Mm. You've got to play Harry Kane.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And then if Sturridge suddenly comes
back, I think you've got to look at Vardy.
And then Vardy, of course. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Harry Kane and Vardy, I think, have got to be the two leaning men, haven't they?
Yeah, sure. And then you've got Welbeck to come back from injury, who I know a lot of people don't fancy, but always has a great job.
For Sturridge, if he's fit. I mean, I know he's a nightmare, but he'll be an injury. But
and then Cowell, for me, a lot of people won't agree, but he's the best sort of plan Z, basically, option they've got. You know, if you're if you're losing 1-0 or 10 minutes to go,
and you throw it, just
get him on. Get him on for those last 10 minutes. So you've got to think of what different options they've got. For me, he still goes, Rooney, whoever's fit. He has to go.
I mean, the thing is, as well, Rooney can also play in midfield or deeper line. In fact, I really think that's where he's most naturally suited, you know. Because even though he's the top goal scorer for England and one of the top goal scorers for United, he's never, ever, in the 11 years he's been there, struck me as a predatory 18-yard man. Do you know what I mean? He's not that...
Yeah, he had that one season, 2009-10.
Yeah, the one after Ronaldo left and he got 30 goals. But, yeah. I mean, yeah.
But other than that, you wouldn't consider him, like a predator, like Zach saying.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. And he's definitely... His pace and his shot, there's something lacking these days from him that he definitely had when he was first hit the circuit.
But he's still capable of scoring a great goal out of the blue.
I know, like he did against Swansea.
Yeah, that flick.
I mean, we talk about his form and he scored 2 goals in 2 games. Really, the worst time to talk about it. But one was a penalty yesterday. One was a fluke against Swansea. It was a fluke. I mean, it's lovely when it pays off, when it works out. But 9 times out of 10, or even 99 times out of 100, they're going to go over the bar, or wide, or into the keeper's arms, or hit his other leg. You know, it's like, a good goal. But I mean,
I think one thing's for sure: this will be his last tournament for England.
Definitely. I don't doubt that at all. I think he's coming definitely towards the end of his career now.
He's played so many games over the years. I mean, he's only 30, isn't he? But
he's been playing football since 16.
I think the World Cup is only 2 years away, so he'll only be 32 then. I'd be surprised if he's not in that squad.
Yeah, but he's like a 36-year-old now.
Yeah, I know, but
he's in his 40s now. I'm
not just talking about his Barnet as well.
We'll come back in 2 years' time and see where we are, but I think he will be next World Cup, and I think that will be his last. But
I think this player's coming through, you know, all over the place now, are just going to take his place. You've got Berahino as well, keeping like a totally different player, by the way, he's a poacher.
But
these guys coming through behind.
But I think Rooney will sort of adapt and play a more deeper role, and I think maybe that's... But
isn't that what he was doing this season?
But the thing is, like, he's, as I said in the last show, he's kind of masquerading as a striker, and just don't bother, have him in midfield.
But then the deeper role for England, you've got Barkley's come.
That's
on
true,
the scene.
Yeah,
you've got Sterling.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Dele Alli is a proper Brian Robson-style box-to-box, wonderful young player.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One for me, one of the first names on the sheet in the first 11. Mm. He's that good, no doubt about
it. He's got that youthful enthusiasm as well as a really good engine. And you know,
well, if we were going to go and do something this tournament, you know, and this goes to any team, I think you've got to have some youth. You've got to put some faith in.
I think Hodgson has got a lovely balance there now that was forced upon him. Well, I just hope he picks the right guys in the starting 11. Now.
Yeah, don't just go for the name. Yeah. And, because you play for.
I worry that he's still going to, you know, have Rooney starting, even if he's in this poor form.
Yeah.
And Henderson and these guys, you know, good player, he's not Dele Alli to me.
But something that I kind of witnessed for the first time as a concept, and I know it's probably not a new one, but when Ireland played Germany there, and Martin O'Neill brought Shane Long on half an hour to go, and it's like, you bring on that impact player who's got ferocious kind of pace, and
that's Vardy for England, isn't it?
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of player you can bring on later on when your opposition are tiring, and he can cause damage. Doesn't necessarily have to start the game. Doesn't mean he's not as important as the other players.
Yeah.
But I think England have got a lot of options now. I think they're definitely one of the favourites for the finals.
I do. I honestly do.
And
I just worry about the manager. I think you look at the players.
I just worry about that, really. But I'm not going to get my hopes up like I always do every time with this, because I've always end up bitterly disappointed. But I just like to go, if, as long as we give it a go, that's all I really want to see.
But not naively. I thought the last World Cup they did give it a go, but it was really naive. You know, when you get to 1-1 in your first group game of Italy, keep the ball. 1-1's a great result.
I think if we're talking about the manager, I think he's got to have the the guts to, if he plays with Rooney in the first match and he's not doing anything, to drag him off at half time. Yeah. And yeah, I think a lot of managers probably wouldn't, you know.
Exactly, last World Cup, he had a shocker first game, although he did play him out wide left because he just felt he had to put him in the side somewhere, didn't he? And then the second game, he did score, but was anonymous, really. He had that, scored that tap-in.
That's right,
Missed a wonderful chance later on. And you just sort of think to yourself, the guy should have been taken off, really.
Because you're saying, is he staying on because of his name and the fact
he's... But then he took, like, Ricky Lambert, he looked on the bench, and there's these ridiculous options.
He's a guarantee for the start. He's got to be going, you know, Lambert.
The thing was, you say that, but at the time, Ricky Lambert scored quite a lot of goals for Southampton.
Yeah, but his players do that.
And he was considered the kind of option like Carroll was, but Carroll hadn't been...
Carroll's a different class.
I think Carroll was just because of his injuries, but I think Carroll can stay injury-free. If he's fit this season, I think he's till the summer. I think
but he won't pick him, will he? Because he doesn't see it like that. Hodgson, he'll just pick the name, he'll pick someone who's I don't know. We'll see what happens, but he should go as well.
I can't wait for Euros. I know it's going to be
fantastic.
I really can't wait. Yeah,
so that's to do with Daily Show when the Euros come out.
I'm literally so excited. Right, gents. Super Six, it's that time again. I think we all look forward to.
And this is going to be our last Super Six because we've just made a decision that next week we're going to do every Premier League game.
Super Ten. What we want to do is talk about Aston Villa some more, don't we?
We do, yeah. We haven't talked enough about them.
But this is a midweek game.
This is the midweek game.
So, yeah, it's quite interesting. There's some quite good games, actually, this week. Kicking things off. Oh, we should actually mention the scores where we are.
Oh, yeah. All right.
At the moment, myself and Rob are joint top on 32 points. Zach, 8 points behind, 24.
Well, I did catch up a bit, didn't I?
You had a really good week, actually. Yeah, you got 6 points. You did well.
Look at that 32, 24, 32. It's like some ladies' dimensions, isn't it?
Does that get relegated? If he finishes bottom, does he get relegated?
I think just someone else comes in.
Mike comes in, maybe.
Ronnie comes in, yeah. Jesus. Right. Chelsea, West Brom, kicking things off here. It's funny because usually you'd think it's going to be a comfortable home win, and probably it should be, but I've got no excitement about Chelsea at all at the moment. I just still don't think they're going to smash them. I think it's going to be a 1-0, I think, Chelsea. I'm still not convinced by that side at all. Zachary?
I think Chelsea have found some form now. Four wins, or four without defeat, and 3 wins, I think.
Yeah.
And Hiddink's won like 23 of 24 games he's managed, Chelsea manager, something like that. Yeah,
is that right?
He's I don't think he's ever lost, or maybe lost one, but
yeah.
So I'm gonna go 3-0 Chelsea. I think Costa seems to have got a bit of that, you know, bite back and stuff. You know,
exactly what I was about to say. Costa looks like he's
I think they're all relieved that Mourinho went. There was something
was wrong with him and Chelsea. As I said before, I didn't think he really wanted to go back to Chelsea. I think once he was there, he had to pretend he did, but I think he wanted the United job, and I think he was never going to last long term there.
I think Costa's back, and if they can get Hazard somewhere near what he was last season,
might be injured though,
see him climb the league.
They'll
start.
What do you reckon?
So I went just a routine 2-0 win for
2-0.
Yeah.
So we got 1-0, 2-0, and 3-0.
Yeah. Like it. Zachary, you're next. Manchester City versus Everton.
Okay, well, Everton haven't been doing that great this season, but
they've had a bit of a shaky last season,
I mean, losing that game against Stoke, which was a mental one. Was that Boxing Day? Anyway, I think they're kind of a bogey team for City, aren't they?
Yeah, beat them in the League Cup.
But I don't want to lose too many points, and a home City win, it seems obvious. I'm going to just say 1-0 City.
1-0 City. Yeah, you got to play a bit sensible these days. Rob, what do you reckon?
2-1 City.
2-1, yeah. I'm going to go... I don't think it's going to be a draw. It's going. I'm going to go 2-all. I fancy it.
That's your final answer.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. It's down.
That's it, down, mate. That's it. Rob, you're kicking things off for the next game, which is Southampton versus Watford.
Well, that's a difficult one, isn't
very
it?
Very tricky one, yeah.
Really,
stinker,
Southampton, just when they look like they're going to pick up after that fantastic win over Arsenal, 4-0, they went to West Ham and lost, didn't they? I mean, they lost another one after that.
They've
lost at home to Palace in the FA Cup yesterday.
The consistency is not there for them this season. I mean, relegation fears for them. They're a good enough side to stay away from all that. But
and then with Watford, they've done fantastic this season. But I think they've been really disappointed to have lost that game to Man City the other day after being one up.
Yeah, but I don't think it shouldn't really hit momentum that much because it's City and they're capable of that to anyone, aren't they?
But. Yeah, I'm just thinking it through what's happened recently. But I think Southampton might nick it anyway.
Yeah.
I think they might get back to winning ways and win
2-1. 2-1 to Southampton. I think you're right in that. I think Southampton probably will win this game, although Watford, they've done so well. So impressive of them. I thought they're doomed this season, you know, right from the off. But
they made some good signings, didn't they? But they made so many, you thought, well, they might struggle initially, but they haven't hit the ground running.
Sometimes. But I think you're right. I think it's going to be Southampton, but I'm going to go play it safe. I'm going to go 1-0. I'm not going to go too mad.
Well, I think, I think Watford's momentum is quite good. I mean, I know they've those defeats against Spurs and City late on, but
unlucky, weren't they?
They're very big teams. I think against Southampton, I think Watford are stronger at the moment. I think 2-1 Watford,
away win.
Yeah, you reckon? I like it. Right, Newcastle versus Manchester United. This is Premier League classic, isn't it?
It is.
There's so many memories.
Always one to get the Geordies.
And I think, considering the fact that Newcastle, you know, they were dire at the beginning of the season, then they sort of had a bit of a lift. Now they're sort of slipping again, I think. And Man United have got under so much pressure at the moment regarding their style of play, and they're going to be expected to go there and put in a good show. I think it's going to be a really good game, but I think Man United will win this, and I think they're going to win it 2-1.
The fact that I'm kind of snickering when Mark says, you know, you're going to score two goals says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. Can I have two different predictions? One for if Van Gaal is the manager and one for if he isn't the manager.
Oh, then go on.
If Van Gaal is the manager, it's going to be nil-nil.
Yeah.
I think it's fair enough.
That's
variant,
exactly what I was
going
for anyway.
And if Van Gaal isn't the manager, it'll be 2-1
United. 2-1 United, okay.
Yeah.
I think Giggsy will come in as an interim manager.
I like this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go
for 1-0. Should be Pep's the manager.
If you both want to do that as well, lads.
I'm just going to go for 0-0.
Brilliant. Is that really what you're going for?
Yeah.
Okay. Zach, Liverpool, Arsenal. Another brilliant fixture.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, it's weird because
midweek as well. Night,
you know, I never really want Liverpool to win that much. But
do you want? Why?
But I respect Liverpool, but they're United's biggest rivals, really, aren't they? Apart from maybe City, but against Arsenal, are just so annoying, so smug in their own failure, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to go for 1-0 Liverpool.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. They can't keep losing, and it's Anfield, and you know.
You're next.
Nice.
I've got a funny feeling, and I've seen it before in this game, and I know Liverpool haven't got a Suarez and a Sterling at the moment, or even a Sturridge, but I've got a feeling that Arsenal are going to bottle this again.
Really?
This title, yeah.
It's a night game, it's going to be tough, you know.
And I think Liverpool are going to come flying out for this one.
And I assume this is the first.
Are you building up a 4-3 prediction?
I'm building up like 3-1 for Liverpool.
Really? Is that what you fancy?
They'll blow them away in the first 25 minutes again.
Really? Yeah. 3-1. Do you know what? Now you say that, you can kind of imagine that, can't you? Especially with Klopp and euphoria. You know, a team like Arsenal, and they've got, you know, unbelievable history. These two clubs.
Yeah. Right, and just the other reason I say it as well is because he's got his tactics right in the two big games he has had, which was Chelsea and Manchester City. You know, and that's the other reason. It shouldn't happen. Arsenal should go there, and they should, you know, they should do.
I'm going to go mad. I'm going to say 4-2 Liverpool.
No one's gone for the Arsenal.
I'm going to go nuts. Right, Rob, you're kicking this last one off. This is Spurs Leicester.
Well,
they're actually playing together and playing each other in the FA Cup, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Well, I don't think this will make a difference to this one because I think there'll be changes. Tottenham, like I was saying earlier in the programme, they play a possession game as well. They're extremely difficult. They're the hardest team to beat in the league.
Really tough, you know, yeah.
They lost once, haven't they?
Twice.
They lost down to Newcastle, didn't they, as well? I just think Leicester now, they are starting to go the other way. Vardy's got injury problems now, hasn't he? He's got a little tweak.
It's going to come,
just,
isn't it?
Got a feeling it's going to be a routine win for Tottenham 2-0.
2-0.
Unfortunately.
Sad, isn't it? But I don't know. I've still got a feeling I mean, Spurs, yeah, they are hard to beat. And I mean, to be honest, they are strong team this season. But I don't know, I've still got a feeling that Leicester are going to get something out of that game. I'm going to go with 1-1.
I mean, I was going to go for an away win because I haven't given one. So I normally like to put one in there, but I just can't see it.
Yeah. Well, it's all like points now. We're all getting nervous now. This Nando's bill is getting,
if Liverpool failed, or if Liverpool beat Arsenal, and Arsenal don't, then a win for Leicester would take them back to the top again.
It'd be fantastic. I'd love to see Leicester go there.
But I just still don't see it happening. But, I'm going to go for it 1-0 Leicester.
Yes.
Oh, you really?
Yes, sir. Do you know what? I'd love to see it.
So that would be wonderful. Imagine going prep top again.
Well, the thing is, the media as well, Tottenham are a good side, but the media loved them so much. I mean, they're predicting them to win the title, some of them. Dion Dublin's on yesterday saying they've got the best spine in the league. Yeah, it's a very decent spine.
Yeah.
Best centre half pairing. Mm. And you do love Dyer and Ali, but I mean, there's plenty of players you'd swap them for still.
I mean, I think.
What are they on about?
I think they're certainly up there for top four contention. Yeah, I don't think they're league. Championship contenders yet.
I'd say second is their probably best bet,
but. Yeah, I don't think they're quite there yet. But I'll tell you what, with the manager they've got and the way they're moving as a club, there's no reason why next season,
they're definitely going the right direction, but it's just the media, the way they talk about them. They lost to Newcastle at home a couple of weeks ago. I can imagine them saying it before that game. Once they lost that to me said they're not quite ready.
But the problem is, what's going to happen? It'll happen, well, this is what I think is going to happen, is it'll be like what happened when they had Bale and they were fighting for the title ish sort of top four really.
And then
once they sold Bale, they got some fantastic money for him, and let's be honest, they wasted most of it, but it was like a big step back for the club.
Absolutely. All of a sudden, that's the thing. What you think is Kane has another fantastic season, they finished second and then he just gets sold and then they're back to square one,
Then it's a big loss.
I think if they are in the top four, Tottenham, they won't sell anyone. It's one of
them. I know, but if Real Madrid come in and they want Harry Kane, they're going to get Harry Kane.
No, I think Harry Kane will say, "I want to stay."
Well, we'll see.
I think he's that type of character, but we will see.
I just don't think he turned down. These opportunities don't come along very often. I think if Real Madrid come in, 100 million bid, that he'll go.
I think even Bale, he was very.
There might be a swap with Gareth Bale. Who knows?
Imagine that. Yeah.
But maybe I'm saying this about Spurs title chance because I can't bear it.
You actually have changed colour. Green. Anyway, gents, that's it for another week.
That's great.
So thanks for listening, and we'll be back again for another show next week.
See you next week.
Cheers. Okay. Bye.